and the musical stylings of Scott K. Announced yet another edition of Ghostly Talk. I'm
yes.
Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
And Will is over there manning the board.
Hi, gay robot.
Hi. Gay robot. You're listening to Ghostly Talk. Good time. Good time.
And I have a question. How was everybody's October?
Exhausting.
Yeah, well, okay, you said it in a word.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Wonderful.
And November isn't shaping up to be any better either.
November is wacko, yeah.
Yeah, it started out rough and it's going to end rough, I think.
Well, you guys, October was an absolutely stellar
month.
A stellar month for us. For Ghostly Talk, for Ghost Hunters in general, because of, Ghost Hunter on Sci-Fi, because of Ghost Magazine at ghostmag.com,
mm-hmm.
because of... the brand new show, which I can't find any archives for. I'm going to have to break into the Pioneer server and download it.
Well, we got to get that together with Devin on that.
Okay.
It's just been so nuts. Sorry, Devin. We're really...
Is it in replay? Is it in air on
Will?
Pioneer?
Okay, we got to get that worked out with Devin. Devin, call me tonight. We'll get this worked out.
But that premiered, and I still haven't heard it. I can't wait to download it. And then that's Ghostish Files, of course. And, just 80 billion other things.
Yeah,
you got to talk with
Ghost
Hunters all month.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely incredible. And then, of course, right after, right on the heels of October, comes November, according to my calendar. And in that, just like the first couple of days of November hadn't even gone by, and Scott L's on the phone, and he's like, dude, we got to go ghost hunting on Thursday night.
Yeah, yeah.
So we went ghost hunting last Thursday night, and then today we met up with the lady we had met. We'd met Jan.
Yeah, Jan.
And we met up with her today, and we went out to Trainwreck Site and Morrow Road and stuff. So, I mean, we've been, like, ghost hunting.
It's been pretty active. And
it
looks like next weekend's going to be, well, we're still working on the plans for that. So
right, next weekend's going to be more ghost hunting, probably, and just absolutely incredible. Oh, speaking of ghost hunters that we talked to last month, you remember we started out the month, we started out the festivities with Sean Burris of Indiana Ghost Trackers.
Yeah.
Well... here's the haps on that.
Dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. You know, he his group went on and did a segment for Proof Positive.
Yes, they did.
Which is the show that used to be immediately before Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi. Now it's immediately after.
It's after now? Okay.
Go figure. I don't know. I got to call up the Sci-Fi Channel and have them nail down a
call
start
right now.
Time for this.
What's the number, dude?
Because...
I'll stop it. How can I help you?
I know what they sound like.
From Ghostly Talk.
Oh, hey, guys. How you doing? Why can I help
you? You're a real dork. You know that?
Is there anything I can do for you?
I thought that was your imitation of my
Sylvia
voice. And for the record, whoever said it, I am not... stoned.
Oh, did somebody
who's
say
stoned?
That?
What do you mean? How are we going to do this?
Anyway.
She's taking shots already.
So,
she calmed down, all right?
You guys, I'm trying to make a point.
Sorry.
It got lost.
She started it.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Marking
I love you.
You're getting a demerit. There we go.
Will you spank me later?
3 demerits earn a spank. Anyway, so here's what happens. Although I could have a sale. 2 demerits? What do you think? Anyway, so what happens is the Sean Burris, we started out the exciting ghost month on Ghostly Talk with Sean Burris of Indiana Ghost Trackers.
Great guy.
And they had done a segment for Proof Positive, which is on either at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, or 10 o'clock. No, not 9 o'clock, because 9 o'clock is Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of weeks it was on at 8 o'clock Eastern time. All times are Eastern. Then last week, suddenly, it was on at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't make the schedule. But the Proof Positive this week, his group is going to be on that episode this week, this Wednesday.
I can't wait.
This Wednesday night, Proof Positive on Sci-Fi with the absolutely insanely beautiful and smart Amanda Tapping. Amanda, call me.
I hit it.
Oh my God!
Sorry, I just kind of.
I heard an EVP. Yeah.
For the record, can you get those tapes back Scott so I can see them? Since I never seem to find myself
tapes?
Home.
Do you know what? They're sitting right on my bookshelf in my living room.
Yeah.
They're not going anywhere. I got to get those over here because I keep telling Doug I'm going to bring them back.
I just now got him to bring back a cord.
I'm sorry
for Ghostly Talk. So I don't know. It could be. It's like trying to get a book out of Will.
I'm sorry. So,
You go. You guys.
Come by the house after and I'll give them to you. They're at my house.
He'll give it to me.
Oh, God. So, anyway,
house, baby, and I'll give them to you. Yeah.
Well, that'll give me plenty of time to get home in a half hour.
So, you guys, we had an exciting month. This month is more. I mean, because we get to talk this, you know, tonight, this wild and crazy night.
Yeah.
We get to talk with Bill Scott.
Yes, we do.
Of Bill Scott Buick. No. Wait, no.
He's gone crazy. We're practically giving him away to these people.
No. I mean, Bill Scott, who is a ghost hunter and an author. He wrote There's the Book. And I read the initial E version of the book, and I was enthralled. He takes you on these ghost hunts with him.
Mm-hmm.
As you're reading this book, you're thinking like you're in the car with them and driving. And I mean, it's really, really written so that you feel like you're going on a ghost hunt.
So we're
going
to talk about that.
I don't know
how
he did it. I was enthralled with it. And
we're going to talk about that, and then we're also going to be playing some more. He's got EVP. Everybody has EVPs now.
Except for us. We have two.
We have crap. We have nothing. We have two.
And
really,
the only two.
But the two are really good, though.
They're really good. But the only two we have, that's only because of Scott K.
Yeah.
If we didn't have Scott K with us, we would not even have that.
We would have had nothing.
Right.
We would have had nothing.
So, Ghostly Talk zero, everybody else 10 million.
Speaking of EVPs, just for a second, we did go to the Mount Clemens train station.
Right.
And Jan and Billy were absolutely phenomenal. They were great to us. Completely welcome there, so we have to thank you guys for that. We did get there, though, and, you know, check the place out and just talk for a little while, of course, what we do. And Will and myself went and took some EVP. Now, you know, we had the train station, and Billy's like, I cannot open the gate. I will get yelled at. But if you want to walk around, go down a little bit and walk around and go back there, you can. So I'm like, well, I'm not really feeling suicidal today, so that's cool. So we walked around, and we planted two recorders out there just for the heck of it, you know.
Where there was no wind.
There was wind back there.
It wasn't nearly as bad.
Well, nearly as bad. My recorder picked it up, though. So I did, like I said, I listened to this stuff as soon as we got home that night. I was up till 2 in the morning listening to it.
Yeah.
Couple of weird things we picked up on there. Now, the problem we have, and here's the lesson to everybody, is it was so cold outside, we planted the recorders, and we were standing there for a minute, like, okay, man, it's cold. All right, let's go back inside. Yes. So we left the recorders there, and we went back inside. I did listen to this audio, and, you know, we got to mention this, too, Doug, before either of us forget right now. We are still reviewing the stuff for Gettysburg and the trip we took. It's going to take just a little bit longer. I know myself, I'm just about through all of my stuff. I don't know about these two guys.
Well, you know what I did? I went and I put my stuff, I converted it over from Wave to MP3, and I dumped it on my MP3 player.
Okay. All right.
And every chance I get, I listen to a little bit more. So we're working on it, but it takes so many hours of audio.
And there's so many hours in a day, and we usually have them all filled up anyway, so it's kind of tough to get all this done. We are going to have another special show, though. We're going to bring Rob from W Paranormal on, and the Bait, also Bruce, to come on, have him on the phone, and we're going to discuss the rest of the trip and what went down.
They've probably already analyzed all their stuff.
They're just waiting on us.
Yeah, and they're waiting
just,
for us.
Well, no, I don't want that to let be a stone left unturned tonight, because we are working on it. It's taking us forever because there's just too much going on in our lives right now, I guess.
Right.
But going back to this EVP from, this recording we took this past Thursday, the first thing we found, that Will and myself found, is we left the recorders going for about 33 minutes and 48 seconds. That's the maximum my recorder can pull down on standard recording mode.
Right.
So we came back, though. This is just the weird thing that happened, and Will, chime in here whenever you want. We came back to pick up the recorders up, and I noticed, you know, I had the time set on my digital recorder, so I want to make sure that was stamped when I upload it up into my computer. And we picked the recorders up, because mine was already done.
Right.
His was still rolling, because it was an analog. And My recorder said exactly 12 a.m.
Yeah.
Exactly 12 a.m.
It was like 11:10.
It was quarter after 11, something like that. Yeah, yeah. You're right. It said exactly 12 a.m.
Which, of course, means it reset.
It had to
reset. And it had to have reset within 1 minute because you were in that zeroth minute.
Well, yeah. The thing is that recorder will only reset like that if you take the batteries out of it.
Right.
When you switch the batteries out. It don't have a memory chip to hold the time or the date, at that matter.
So it's like something cut the power to your recorder.
Something cut the power
completely. Right as you were walking up to it, because within a minute.
The timing was impeccable, too, because like I said, my recorder, my Olympus Digital, can only record 33 minutes and 48 seconds on standard mode. On like high quality mode, it can only record like 20 minutes, and like on low quality mode, it can go like an hour and a half.
Right.
I usually set the standard, set it's good, it's clean, right? We walked up, and it was almost like it was like at least a second before the thing actually shut. It was done recording. We timed it perfect.
Right.
Because you can actually hear us on the recording walking up, and you can hear us talking as we're walking up, and it shuts off. So the timing was cool, and we just got lucky on that, I think. I don't really think that was anything weird. But the weird thing was that it completely reset. Because I'm sitting here looking at the recorder going, it says 12 a.m. on this thing. What's going on? And then it went to regular time. 12:01, 12:02, 12:03. Just started doing its job, right?
Which means that sometime as you were walking up, it completely reset. And it wasn't like you didn't get
there. But the recording's seamless, though. The recording's seamless. The whole thing... I don't hear any glitches in there like it stopped recording. It can't do that. It's impossible. It can't do that. It's not designed to shut off by itself. Something, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to speculate too much, but something reset that recorder. I don't know what it was. It was just really strange. The audio itself, just to give a high level, I listened to it that night when I got home, and it sounds as if... See, the problem we're having with this right now, and this is going to go for you too, Wilkes, either of us were out there, was that we left the recorders out there, which sometimes, I mean, it depends on who you talk to. There's so many different ideas back and forth with EVPs now. We've learned a lot over the last month about this stuff. You do hear things like I told Will and you before the show. It sounds like somebody's hammering on metal. That's what they used to do to fix train tracks back in the day, was they'd hammer them with sledgehammers and knock them into place. I hear a sound like a ping, ping kind of sound. And it happens randomly, but it happens through the whole audio segment.
But you weren't out there to verify that was an actual noise that was happening.
Well, no, we were out there for a few minutes, and I mean,
we never heard anything like that.
We never heard anything like that when we were out there, and I mean, to hear a sound like that would have stuck right out. You would have heard it. I mean, that's all I can say is I think we would have been like, whoa, what the hell is that? But we didn't hear anything like that. There's a couple of sounds throughout the audio that sound like a wailing, not like a scream or a yell, but it's like a kind of thing. It's broken up like that too. The only thing I can say to that, because I did notice across the train tracks, maybe about a football field away, were a couple of houses. So somebody could have been, you know, there could have been, like, you know, some domestic abuse going on across the way. Who knows?
It is Ron Clemens.
It is Ron Clemens. Yeah. So, I mean, there's some weird things. I actually just got to listen to it one time, and if I have time, I'm going to go through it tonight and try to isolate a few things that I thought were somewhat anomalous. But that was the weird stuff that happened Thursday night. That's about as weird as it got, I think. There was actually Billy and Jam were running an infrared camera, too.
Yep, and we got to get one.
Those are cool.
Those are really cool.
Will said he saw something flow through it. I saw a couple things that floated through it, too.
I saw a lot of stuff flow through it, and I'm like, this is kind of scary.
Well, the thing that I saw go through it was when, before we had a tape in their recording, Scott and Jan had left the room, and left me in there by myself, and Billy and Doug were talking in the other room, and I was sitting there. It was probably about 15, 20 seconds after they walked out. There was this big ball of light, but infrared, so it shows up real bright. It originated in the center of the screen, and then shot to the right side of the screen in a downward motion.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like, you know, the little things we were seeing later. It was much, much, much brighter. And even with the light on, it was much, much brighter.
Did Jan talk to you guys about that tape today? Did she review that?
She didn't mention it, did she?
She didn't mention it at all.
All right, I'm going to talk to her about that. just to see if she picked anything up on there or saw anything.
She's going back to Florida soon.
Yeah, no, I
And so what I'm going to have to do is I want to get her in touch with some of the folks in Florida that we've met.
Yeah, yeah.
Through the show.
Yeah, Jeff Reynolds,
and yeah.
Like that.
And see, because I don't know anything about Florida. I don't know if they're in the same area or anything, but I know that Jan's really interested in finding good quality hauntings to write
check
about.
Yeah, to
stuff,
check out
yeah.
at least. So it was an interesting night, though, regardless. I mean, listening to the recorder thing was really strange. I know for a fact, because I've been using that recorder for almost 3 years now, the only way it resets like that is when you pull the batteries. And that it's just a little digital recorder, so the batteries last forever in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
I did another thing too. Is my digital camera, which I just charged the batteries up before we went out there that night. The battery did die completely. I mean, I only got maybe took a lot of pictures though. I mean, that could attribute to the battery dying, but those lithium batteries usually last a lot longer than that.
Right.
And it just totally. I looked at it one time and it was like half charged, and then I looked at it again. It was like fully charged. That was in the span of a minute. I'm like. What's going on with this thing? What's going on with this battery? Who knows? So I could have been walking through some kind of field. Who knows? I mean, about that. Or it could just be the batteries might be going to crap, too. I mean, those are just a few of the weird things that happened, I think, Thursday night. Which, I mean, they're verifiable as far as we're concerned. I will isolate some more of that audio if I find anything strange on there to play on the show, though, too. Along with the Gettysburg stuff that we've been putting off.
October is not our month. It is our month. That's why.
Well, that's why we
get so little done.
We don't get anything done. So.
But I got some good books read and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and that kind of thing. Anyway, so there was something else I had to say and I can't remember what it is now. So it's my own fault. So what I'll do is I'll fill it in with this. This is Ghostly Talk, of course, and we broadcast live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Uh-huh.
When we're broadcasting live, we're in the chat room.
Yeah.
So get to the chat room if you can. There's, like, a lot of cool people in there, and they're chatting as we speak.
Yeah.
They're evidently doing a lot of fun stuff because Body is squinting.
And hits on me.
Your mic is dead.
Major hits in the chat
room. Yeah, your mic's dead.
Turn your mic on.
Say something.
It is on.
Your mic is dead.
It died.
Your mic just finally bit the dust.
Try that.
He's dead.
What?
Your mic is dead.
Oh, good. All that audio checked before the show, and it didn't happen. So, but anyway, in the chat room...
Bonnie, you're censored. Bye.
In order to get to the chat rooms, of course,
yeah.
You can go to www.ghostlytalk.com, and if you remember, click on the IRC chat link,
mm-hmm.
or go to pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O dot net,
mm-hmm.
and click on the text chat link in that little gizmo control.
Yeah, yeah.
And that'll take you to get in there. Of course, if neither of those work... for you because those are like Java applet things,
mm-hmm.
you can always download MIRC, M-I-R-C. That's it's at www.mirc.co.uk,
mm-hmm.
and you go there, download it, and see if you can get in through that.
Yeah.
That's an actual program,
mm-hmm.
and you join the Undernet network,
mm-hmm.
and when you're in the Undernet network, the room name is #PioneerRadio.
Mm.
And that's how you can get in there.
Get in there and make fun of me.
And sure, that's what everybody does.
That's what's going on.
Oh, they're making fun of Bonnie.
Yeah, apparently I'm drunk, high, and passed out on the floor.
Not this weekend. No, you guys got the wrong weekend here, man. So we are going to have Bill Scott on tonight. We are going to... Bill Scott has written this great book called... What?
I was There's the book.
There's the book. It's
I read
it's an
it.
Obvious title. That's why it's hard to remember, I guess.
I read it, and I really, really, I thought it was just brilliant.
Well, what is he? You said he takes you into an actual ghost hunt.
He takes you on several in this book, and it's like you're in the car with him. It's like you're standing around with him. It's just like being there. He wrote it extremely friendly of some kind. I don't know how he did it because I was reading it. And it was an e-book, so it's not like I couldn't put it down, but I couldn't take it off my screen. I'm like, wow, page down. It was just incredible. I read the e-book version of it.
Very cool. And we are, like I said, we're going to review some EVPs.
And we have a question to ask him, too.
What's the question?
Well, the question, remember we were talking to Devin earlier in the month.
Okay.
And Devin had said that he was thinking of writing a book, and he's working on a book. So we're going to ask him how you break into the... the book writing industry.
Yeah.
So we're going to spring that on.
Well, first you write a book.
Yeah, first you have to write the book, probably.
I think, yeah, that's probably the hardest part. I don't know if everything else. Unless you're Mark Kimmel and you start up your own publishing company.
Oh, we're going to talk to him again.
Yeah, he's coming on the show at December. He'll be here in December.
Good, then I have time to read.
December 12th, I think.
December 12th?
Yeah.
Good. Well, he has a new book out called Decimal.
And that'll give me time to read it, because yeah. I've got it. I just have to read it. And I,
Trillion was brilliant.
If it's anything like Trillion.
Yeah.
I couldn't put Trillion down. I tried so hard. I could have read it mm-hmm. all in one sitting.
Yeah.
I end up when I read, it's late at night. You know, I'm all covered up and snuggled in my bed and everything, and I open up a book and I usually end up falling asleep reading.
Mm-hmm.
With Trillion, I would read a heck of a lot longer because it was just that fascinating. So
yeah.
Decimal, I expect Mark Kimmel to just like absolutely shine in that and just have it be like. Wow, and I may end up staying up all night one night reading
yeah.
because his books are really that engrossing. They're just phenomenal.
We actually received an email. I don't know. Yeah, you guys got it too, from a listener who I don't know if you guys listened to Coast last Sunday, which was Halloween. Yeah, last Sunday was Halloween.
Oh, so it was Art Bell's Ghost to Ghost program. I did not get to listen to it.
Well, he featured...
I wish, but it just
came to mind, and I actually printed the whole thing out. And I actually listened to the show for a while that night, too. It was immensely interesting. What he basically featured the whole night, well, the majority of the night, was this experiment that was done. I don't want to name any names because I'll screw them up, and I should have brought it with me, but I just thought about this. Because the listener emailed and said, hey, you need to check this out. I don't know if you guys listen to the show or not, but you need to check this out. And basically, it was an experiment these gentlemen did back in the 60s when research into the paranormal and anomalous things of this nature was a lot more frequent. There was more money being put into it. And these gentlemen actually put together a machine of some sorts, and they based it off Thomas Edison's work.
Right. Thomas Edison, speaking of him,
mm.
the train station that we were
Thursday.
I
forgot about that, yeah.
That was the one Thomas Edison worked at when he was in Mount Clemens.
Mm-hmm.
He was in that building
yeah.
that we were in. Is that really cool or what?
Yeah, there's an actual plaque on there. Dedication to Thomas Edison. People in the chat room, somebody, anybody, send us a smoke signal. What I was talking about concerning this show last week on Coast to Coast, I totally forgot the name of the actual experiment. So somebody in there has to have listened to the show. Hope that isn't my car. Somebody send the name of that thing. And if somebody has a link also, because there's an actual 100-page manual on this experiment. What they basically did is... Whose car is that? Somebody got to check that out.
Not the Death Escort. I know that.
Devil's Night was last weekend, people. Get it right. There was an actual 100-page manual put together on this experiment. And really what they did is this gentleman, the lead researcher, found a way to communicate with the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Basically communicate in real-time conversation. That's what makes this thing a little different. And Art Bell was playing. I don't know where he got the clips from. I think you can download them somewhere. Art Bell was playing the conversations this guy had. Now, what it sounds like, this machine they built, I forgot the stupid name of the experiment. Somebody send that to me, please, so I don't sound like a complete moron. the voice sounds like, and there is all types of skepticism about it too. The voice sounds like Ned from South Park, basically, right? This gentleman's talking to this guy. He's talking, and this person he was talking to, who supposedly was passed on, he was a doctor of some sort. I forgot his name, but he referred to him as doctor this and doctor that. He found out this person's name. This person, this dead person, told him his name. So the tapes we were listening to last weekend on Coast to Coast were these real time conversations between this gentleman, this researcher, and this spirit. And it sounded kind of like, they were using vibrations of some sorts.
Right.
And whatever was on the other side was using these vibrations to actually make, that's all our voices are anyways, or, hello, there it is right there. It uses these vibrations to phrase out words. So these conversations were between these two, well, this spirit of some sorts, and this man talking about stuff. And it was really kind of funny because, you know, the researcher was having problems with things, and this spirit was going, okay, you need to take this capacitor and move it over there and then try to, yeah, mess with this transformer right there, and that should help you make things easier. He's giving him instructions and trying to help him out.
Okay. Oh, that's pretty cool.
It was a really interesting coast to coast. I mean, it was amazing. Well, this listener actually emailed the link to me, and I already found it. It was on Coast to Coast site, but it was still really cool for her to send that over. So I actually printed the whole 100-page thing.
at work,
of course.
Yeah.
And I've been reading through this thing. It's really interesting. If somebody has a name for it, pop it over just so I remember it. I'll say it later on. But you can probably go to Coast site also and just go back to the Halloween show they had last weekend and you can get the link for the actual site, too, that has this whole manual on there. I mean,
a little different than Ghost to Ghost usually is. Because
it was different, but it was really interesting.
Yeah, but Ghost to Ghost is usually when listeners call in with their ghost story.
I think they did that later in the show.
Oh, okay.
But he did this for a while. I mean, I was just enthralled.
Well, I mean, it sounds absolutely... Absolutely
they were
phenomenal.
Talking. They were talking. And I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of skepticism. They were faking it or whatever. But I mean, the premise, if this is true, what the hell happened? I mean, there's a manual up online for this thing. I imagine it probably cost a pretty penny to build this thing, too. It was a big, you know, machine.
Right.
And you're talking about just, vacuum tube the hell out of this thing. I mean, it was probably very expensive to build this thing. But imagine with today's technology, you could synthesize something like that for a lot cheaper, probably a lot smaller, too.
Yeah, you could put make it the size of a micro cassette recorder or something.
Yeah, we'll have it sitting right here, and we'll have, a fourth guest. It'll be, hi, how you doing? I got to this is Gosley Talk. That's what this voice sounded like.
Gosh.
It sounded like Ned from South Park. Like I said, I don't know. I mean,
that's Gosley Talk.
It was really interesting. So, guys, check that out. We're going to pimp Coast to Coast. Great.
Hey, why not?
Go over there.
It's one of my favorite shows. So.
Download this thing. Read through it because I have it at work. And I've been reading through it for like 2 days now. It's really interesting.
Cool.
We got something, Will?
Did they call it?
Anybody give me a name? Does anybody know anything whatsoever?
Maybe we have zero listeners tonight.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Just the people in the chat rooms, yeah.
Yeah.
But we can't hear you anymore in our headphones.
Yeah, you're gone.
What did you do? Don't know?
Don't know?
Don't know?
Whatever.
Cool.
Let's break anyways.
We got to get...
Put that finger down.
Right? We got to get Bill Scott on the phone.
We get Bill on the phone here.
So we'll get Bill Scott on the phone, and we'll be talking to him about... He's a ghost hunter.
Yeah.
He's an author.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a continuation of Ghost Month.
Yeah.
Because we get to talk to another ghost hunter.
We liked it so much that we just kept going.
Just keep going on and on.
Yeah.
Who's on... when are we going to... have Lauren Coleman on the show.
Oh, jeez. Isn't that the tail end of November?
I guess December 5th.
December 5th?
Yeah.
Well, there's one I'm really looking forward to
as
well.
Yeah, that's a really interesting show.
So, I thought that was coming up. What's the one next week, then?
Chad Lambert from Point Pleasant Comic Book.
Oh, how incredibly cool.
We're going to be talking comics next week. That's
comics.
Really cool. That's
comics
something really different. I think
it's
really neat. So, cool. Let's take a break,
then. The Mothman comic. He did Point Pleasant. So,
it's
cool.
I saw it today, too. I got to see the comic that he sent over to us today.
Yeah.
It was just, it's super cool.
It's really awesome.
Neat.
Yeah, can't wait.
All right.
But for now, this show, we're going to get Bill Scott, author of There's the Book,
mm-hmm.
fellow ghost hunter,
mm-hmm.
on the horn. We'll come back after our break and visit with him and chat with him and see what's going on down south.
We will be right back.
Hi, I'm Terry at www.missourighost.net. You are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Just when you thought it was safe to get drunk, then say hi to your friends.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
Just when you thought it was safe, get that late night booty call.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
Oh!
Oh. In the house.
Oh.
There's a kangaroo kickboxing in my
body. Oh.
www.drunkendialing.com.
Good night. Say good night. Say good night, dummy.
Hey, this is Debbie from Ghostbusters Files, reminding you to tune in to Ghostbusters Files every other Saturday on www.ghostbusters.net.tc at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll see you there. really gotta get out of here. Later.
All alone.
No, I'm around.
Oh, there you are.
Do I hear me?
You're there. You're still there. What about Bonnie?
Bonnie.
Oh, it's dead.
It's totally dead.
That mic, just put it away, man. It's cooked. We're waiting for Bill Scott to call in right now.
Yeah, he's in the chat room. Speaking of the chat rooms, you guys, Ghostly Talk, when Ghostly Talk is live from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we end up. Are you I'm fiddling
it's
with
it. Broken.
I'll put her on a different
it's
channel.
Broken. Now talk, Bonnie.
Okay.
That mic is dead.
Dead.
That mic's finished. Throw it in the garbage.
Another $20. There you go.
Bye.
Anyway, when we're live, we're in the chat rooms.
Yeah.
So if you go to pioneer.rollo.net, or if you go to www.ghostlytalk.com, there's a chat link, and you can get in the chat rooms and chat with us. And Bill's in the chat room, so we're...
We're waiting on him now.
We're waiting on him to call. Which is going to be absolutely fantastic. Yeah, because I forgot to get his phone number. Otherwise, we would have called him. But it's a toll-free number.
Yeah, either way, we're paying for it.
Yeah, so it should be cool. Did you give him the phone number? Cool.
Okay.
And so what happens is Bill Scott is a ghost hunter.
Yeah.
He's in... down south, and he was interested several years ago in checking out ghost hunting. He went to a meeting, and I'm sure he'll tell us more about this. He went to a meeting, a ghost hunting meeting, with a local ghost hunting group.
Yeah.
And thought it was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he just investigates like crazy. He's calling in now.
Oh, there he is.
Let's get him on the phone.
I wish you knew. Thank you for calling IBM Tech Support. How can I help you?
Yeah, this is Bill Scott.
Oh, well, hi, Bill.
What's going on?
Hey, this is Doug.
How's it going?
Hey.
And this is Scott L.
Yeah, the number popped up and then the screen went blank. I couldn't get it the first time.
Uh-oh. Well, sorry about that. Anyway, you're live on Ghostly Talk. Thank you for calling in and being our guest tonight.
Cool. I'm glad to be on there. I think that website you want is worlditc.org.
Worlditc.org?
Yeah. What's the name of the UC? Do you have it in front of you right now?
I can pull it up.
I'm trying to figure out what the name of the project was. It was like Psy something. I totally forgot the rest of it. It's a 100-page manual, though. It's really, really in-depth, and it actually breaks down the technical specifications on the instrument itself. It's from a techie's standpoint, it's very, very interesting. That's no problem, though. Bill!
Yeah.
All right, he's there.
Yeah. You, tell us about yourself. Usually we like to keep it pretty, pretty laid back and like a conversation, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But let's start out with finding out a bit about yourself and your projects and what got you into ghost hunting and tell us the kinds of stuff you do.
Okay.
And then from there we'll make it into a conversation.
Okay. That's all right to me. Well, I've been doing this about 4 years now. I stopped at a local gas station and saw a posting for a local ghost hunting group that was having an open meeting for the public. And just kind of caught my attention, and I kind of filed it away in the back of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over and visited with my brother, and just in conversation I mentioned it to him. He said, well, man, you ought to go to it. And I'm like, nah. Well, he kind of dared me into going.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went down to the library and met with these people, and they started telling me about EVPs and the videos of orbs, and I knew absolutely nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the first video clip they showed me, they had a night shot camera set up, and this orb comes down the staircase as they're leaving the room and goes right up in front of the camera, and a woman's voice says, can you see me?
Really?
Yeah, you could have knocked me over with a feather, because I'm thinking, if these people can produce this, they ought to be working for Hollywood.
Well, yeah, totally.
I didn't believe them at the time. I thought they were pulling a fast one on me. So they had told me about EVPs in a local cemetery called Souls Chapel. So I went to the local Walmart, picked me up a pocket recorder, called one of them up unexpectedly so they didn't have time to plan anything.
What a good idea.
And had them take me to this cemetery, and I put a new tape in, put the recorder down, walked around for about 20 minutes. Went back and picked it up, kept it recording until I got in the car, took it home and played it back. Well, at the moment I'm reaching down to pick this recorder up, this little boy's voice breaks in and says, there's the book. Louder than I'm talking.
Aha!
How cool.
And I must have listened to this thing 50 times because this recorder's been in my shirt pocket the whole time since I picked it up. No one's had a chance to do anything with it. And I knew there were no kids there. And I talked to the guy about it, and I said, you know, I got this voice on here. And he said, well, did you get anything after that? And I hadn't even listened any further. So I listened on, and as we're walking back to the car, this person's voice breaks in, which is different than the two of us that was there. And so as if we're walking right past the person, and they're trying to say something to me, and they say, there's something, though. And I'm like, oh, man.
So you had, right on your first experience, you got some really cool EVPs.
Yes.
Wow. Including the very first EVP you ever got gave you the title for your book series.
Oh, that's where it started for me, and that's where I started the book.
That is absolutely fantastic.
I mean, that, for me, that EVP proved to me that something was going on.
Well, with all these, I mean, we've really been focusing on EVPs a lot, like especially for Ghost Month we just had in October, and we've all been kind of jazzed on this phenomena of EVPs, and there's just so much out there. I mean, I never realized until we really started calling people out, going, okay, what do you got? And people are like, oh, I got about 50 clips. Here, let's check it out.
I emailed you some copies of the EVPs that I talked about in the first book. In fact, it's funny.
We got them, and we've got them loaded.
We have. We're going to listen to them.
So if you want us to play any of them, say, hey, you know, here's one, and you know, we can play any of them at any time.
Yeah.
So we've got them loaded in case you want us to play some.
Now, it's funny how the book unfolded. I mean, how that came about. One of the people I worked with had heard about my ghost hunting and asked me several questions about it. I said, well, on our website at the time, I had put up 8 little short stories telling about my ghost hunts.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people would email and ask questions. I said, well, this is how this has happened and what happened and how we did it. And I told him to go to the website and look at it, and we had let a new guy take over the website, and the first thing he did was clear everything off the website.
Oh, nice.
So the fellow employee comes back and tells me I'm full of bull. Well, hold on. I'll go home. I'll print them out and let you have them.
Mm-hmm.
Went home, printed them out, handed them to him the next day. And he stands there and reads all 8 of them. And his jaw has dropped open. And he says, these are better than R.L. Stine. And the name didn't click with me. You know, the goosebumps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he said, can I take these home to my son? He would love these. I was like, go ahead. I mean, there's nothing to me, you know.
Yeah.
He takes them home. His son's in the Boy Scouts.
Okay.
Does he do? He takes them to the next camp out.
Oh, no.
Now, these kids range in age from 6 to 17. There was about 25 of them. And they had kids that would not get out of their sleeping bags till sunrise the next morning. These kids get up before sunrise. They were going to the local outhouses and groups. It had scared them so badly. But when he came back to tell me this, the only thing that they wanted was more stories. And that knocked me over. I'm like, man, you know. So I just picked up where I left off with the 8 and continued to write them. I'd get like 1 or 2 written, maybe 3 or 4, and send them. And I kept getting this positive feedback from them. You know, they were meeting early at Boy Scout meetings just so they could sit down and read these to the new members. So the old members were having a kick out of the new ones getting scared to death. And it kept going and kept going. And the buddy of mine from work said, man, you ought to do something with these because these kids love this. And I'm thinking, well, that's got to be the litmus test for a ghost story, is if you can scare a bunch of Boy Scouts with the ghost stories.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, well, maybe I'm on to something then. So after I finished 18 different stories, I got online and found a publishing house called PublishAmerica.com.
Okay.
I emailed them what I had. And 21 days later, they emailed me back and said, your contract should arrive in about 3 days.
Oh, very cool.
How awesome.
Wish it was that easy for me. Jeez.
That's incredible. Yeah, because one of the things that we have contact with a fellow who has started a radio program, an audio program on the internet,
mm-hmm.
and he's a young fellow. And he was asking us or talking about doing a book.
Okay.
And he started it already. So we were going to ask you about that. How do you go on then from ghost hunter to ghost hunter / author? So now we know.
Right.
You submit your stuff.
You email your stuff.
You just email it. Yeah.
Now, most of your publishers want a typewritten package mailed in. These guys, you can email the entire work to them, and they'll let you know.
Well, that's a lot easier to do that.
That's amazing.
Now, in the meantime, since the first one came out, they're in pre-production for the second one right now.
Excellent. So there's the book number 2.
Called Patty's Ghost Chasers, Volume 2 in the Ghost Hunter series.
Okay.
Absolutely amazing.
Release date hasn't been set yet, but it as soon as it is, I'll let you know.
Let us know. We'll put it up on the website. What kind of feedback have you gotten about There's the Book?
Very positive feedback. One email that I got was out of Rochester, New York. It was a ghost hunting group. And they emailed me, asked me several questions about it. I've gotten emails about people having ghost problems in Michigan, for example. And this one woman had a problem and contacted me and asked my advice on it. You know, so here I'm getting, you know, emails from all over the country. People like, what should I do in this case? What do you think about this? And it kind of caught me off guard because I'm not used to that, you know.
Well, that's really important, too, because, I mean, we get the same stuff, which we think is great. And Let's just say, for example, if you do an internet radio show on the subject, people will email you thinking that you know something about it. I mean, I like to think that we do know a bit. We've studied and we've done the work, and we have. I think we know more than the average person's going to know.
Well, in the last 4 years, I've managed to do 156 investigations.
I know. Wow. You're busy. You're a busy,
and
busy
run into stuff I had no idea what was out there.
And you're going to learn a lot through that, obviously. You're gonna have that experience behind you, and then that reputation is gonna carry you around, which, you know, apparently it's done the same thing for us. And that's the cool part, and that's one of the things we preach on this show is, you know, and people have done it. People have done it. We're like, okay, if you don't like what we're doing here, do your own show. Mm-hmm. And they start doing it. And that's cool. They become the media, and then they become authorities on this, too. You need a lot more authorities, whether it be writing books or doing radio shows.
Mine has also blossomed into magazine articles as well.
Oh, good.
That's right. You did a magazine article for GhostMag.com.
Yeah, Ghost Mags.
Which is a familiar thing. We talked with people from Ghost Magazine a few weeks ago. So that's we know ghostmag.com.
Yeah, I've got an article coming out in their November issue, and I've also got an article coming out in another magazine called Haunted Times in the November issue as well.
Interesting, because I've heard of Haunted Times, but I've never actually talked to the folks over there, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
So I should probably dash them off an email and say, hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Both groups, I mean, you know, they're very nice people, and the articles I submit are different for each magazine, so I don't resubmit the same material. Mm-hmm. Different investigations, different articles.
How come your book, There's the Book, made me feel, I've been dying to ask you this, how come it made me feel like I was there with you?
Well, I treated it as a personal journal or diary. I mean, I wanted people to feel like, because I'm not a writing expert, so I just wrote it, you know, as if I'd done the investigation, sat down, and wrote it right then.
Okay.
So not being a professional, not knowing what I'm quote-unquote supposed to do a lot, it tends to go into areas most people don't expect. You know, I've been told that a lot of people feel like that they're right there. A lot of people will read it 4 and 5 times. They give it to a relative or a friend, and they never get it back.
Well, if we give anything to Will, we never get it back. So, yeah. So we're used to that.
Keep away from Will.
But I'm telling you, when I was reading through it, because I got the e-version, the electronic version of the book.
Right, that was the easiest way to send to you, the quickest.
Right, mm-hmm. And so I got that, and I was just sitting there absolutely enthralled, and I felt like I was, you know, it just painted the picture in my head. Well, of course, I've been on ghost investigations as well, so I don't know if it was just easier for me or whatever, but I felt like I was with you on your investigation. It was incredible.
Well, thank you. I mean, that's a compliment that I, you know, have heard from a few people, but you put it the best way.
Well, that's a good tool to have, though. I mean, that's going to help a lot of people out. If they read the book, people that are new to it, for example.
Right.
You know, that's going to be a real important tool, if you ask me.
And even if you've been on ghost investigations before and are an expert,
mm-hmm.
reading through There's the Book mm-hmm. is just that much more thrilling, because you get this excitement
mm-hmm.
along with it. You get excitement, you get I remember sometimes, you know, you would think, you know, oh, is something funny happening? Is someone messing with me? You know, that kind of thing. And you said it right in the book, and it's like, you know, and you're right there with you know, thinking inside your head, Bill. And it was like, just, I don't know. I don't know how to describe how...
The book was written as it was happening. I mean, you know, when I sat down and wrote the first 8 stories, it was like I was like on the 10th investigation at that time. So this stuff was written practically at the time it happened. So, you know, from the first investigation of not knowing anything about it, several investigations into it, and I've learned a little bit here and a little bit there, and seen this before and seen that before. It just unfolded as it happened. So it is a journal of what happened as it happened. Now the second volume picks up where the first one left off.
Well, then I'm geeked. I can't wait till Publish America goes and publishes it, because I'm going to read it, you know.
I'm working on it.
The thing is, like all these tools, all these excellent tools, because there's Kathleen Ramsland's Ghost, that's mm-hmm. the book,
yeah.
that Kathleen Ramsland wrote about ghost hunting. There's Bill Scott's There's the Book. These those are excellent materials, along with things like what Richard of ghosttoghost.org puts up. He puts up those 15 to 30 minute actual audio of the ghost hunt, whether anything's happening or not.
Yeah.
They just put the audio up. All these different tools, the books and the audio that's out on the internet, you can put all this stuff together and come up with a real idea of what ghost hunting is like.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, speaking of ghost hunting, have you seen Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi?
Yes, I have.
Do you what do you think of? I just absolutely get thrilled every single week. I sit down, I get home from work, I sit down, I put the tape in, I'm going to record it, and it just thrills me every week because they bring in the new people and the people drift in and out and stuff like that. There's always, of course,
and that happens with ghost hunting groups too. And,
well, that happens too. Yeah.
Every group's got their own approach as to how they do things, but you know, I'd say that what they do and how they do it is probably about 90% of other groups across the country and around the world probably do the exact same thing.
Yeah, really.
I think so.
Oh, it's wild to think that you can go to the local Walmart and buy a camera, whether it be video or a box throwaway camera, and a recorder, and take them to a room where nobody's at, set them down, come back 30 minutes later, and you may or may not have something on there.
You know, this conversation is going this way, and I've always wanted to ask this question to somebody, because I get it asked so many times, and I want to do it for a change.
Okay.
Good, good, good.
Bill.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
I have.
You have?
Yes.
Can you describe that?
It was a shadow person. It was the very first thing I ever saw.
Really?
How far into your ghost hunting did this happen, or was it before?
10 years before.
10 years before? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was on it. I talked about it, and there's the book.
Yes, you did.
I was on a nighttime fishing trip. You know, this was my attempt at becoming a fisherman, which, you know, I couldn't catch anything. And
been there. I know what you're talking about.
Fishing at a creek in a county down from us here. And we got into talking around the campfire and started telling ghost stories, and one of the kids didn't want to tell one. And I asked him why, and he broke down and actually told us he was seeing a ghost in his house. And the only thought that comes to my mind is, you know, offering the suggestion of prayer to take care of it, because if he wasn't seeing it and it was just psychological, maybe that would put his mind at rest.
Yeah, maybe that would help.
And if it was real, you know, he was going to the highest authority, and that might take care of it too. So I was covering all bases with it. And little did I know what I was getting into. Because it wasn't just moments later we heard the sound of footsteps coming through the woods. I thought maybe a nighttime coon hunter or something. And he stepped out of the edge of the woods, actually had to knock a limb out of its way with its left arm. And we're standing there with four flashlights on this thing, less than probably about 20 feet away. It was a solid, black, three-dimensional shadow of a person. The way the light hit it, it was like the light was being swallowed up by the dark part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The crap out of me.
Well, I'm telling you that I've seen one shadow person once as well, and that's exactly what it was. We had a million candle power,
illuminator.
Yes, thank you, Scott. We had a million candle power thing pointed at these weeds and woods, and there was this shadow figure running right through the beam. And it was absorbing the light. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Except it wasn't stalking us, it was running away. So I was pretty lucky in that in that part of my story.
This happened to me, and exactly how I handled it, people have to buy the book and read it.
Right.
Well, this particular...
All part it was is, you know, a couple of the members of the group on way to an investigation got me to break down and tell them, you know, if anything ever happened to me, and I told them that. And lo and behold, when we got to the cemetery that night, saw another one.
Wow.
Really?
Yes.
And, I mean, the thing that is enthralling about the shadow person is just what you were talking about, Bill, and also what you were talking about, Doug, is that this phenomena, if you want to call it that, it sucks the light up.
Yeah.
And the light, when you hit it with a light, it don't reflect off of it.
No, not at all.
So where the hell's the light going?
That was... That happened to me the first time I saw one was back in 1990. Now, today it's pretty commonplace for people to know what a shadow person is.
Mm-hmm.
Experienced or not. 1990, I'd never heard of one.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that to me, you know, was pretty dang scary.
Yeah. Now, if I had seen a shadow figure before I knew what it was, I have no clue what I would have thought of it.
Well, you'd have a different approach to it. That's obviously you're you know.
Well, I was very lucky in that it was going away.
Well, yeah, you
know, it wasn't coming toward me, so I was fortunate in that. So I could, probably wouldn't have been scared, other than startled.
Well, you know, and from what we've talked to Heidi on the show a couple times about the shadow people, Heidi Hollis, and everybody that I've talked to, or you know, they've given me an idea about it, always seems to say that these things have a sinister quality about them. For some reason, they don't know why. Maybe it's just because they're black and they're dark looking, and they, you know, well, it's a demon. It's dark.
You get a certain feel to the air around them too. I mean, when in the presence of one, it's unlike anything else I've ever experienced.
I mean, I'm just wondering why. I'm wondering if these are actually evil beings, or if they're just, they just do what they gotta do, and they really don't. They don't have any conscious idea of what's bad and what's good. If they're just there, like, you know, people have talked the same thing about ghosts, for example, that, you know, well, there's evil spirits and then there's nice spirits. And there's other people that say, hey, look, these things have no idea of what good and evil really is. They're just there. They don't understand that, which would basically pull away the theory that these are intelligent type spirits or beings themselves. But I've always, the people that I've talked to always, I mean, and this goes from, like, you know, our show all the way up Coast to Coast too, where people say these shadow people, they're sinister, they have an evil quality about them. But you're saying too, Bill, that, you know, they change the vibe around them. When you're in the presence of one of these things, there's a different vibe.
I mean, you know, some of the things that I noticed at the time I was looking at that first one is there was no sound, and we were in the middle of the woods.
Uh-huh.
It's just like somebody put the sound on mute while this thing was there.
Mm.
And I had had the experience with Will up at Morrow Road in Algonac, where it was, you know, we pulled up on Morrow Road and all the sounds just stopped. I mean, they were there, then they were gone. But I didn't actually see a figure, so I was, you know, although we were scared. We thought we heard footsteps behind us. We thought someone was coming up to the car. So, well, I'll tell you what, you guys.
Let's take a break. Yeah,
let's take a quick break,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll come back with more information about, there's the book, more information about ghost hunting with Bill Scott.
And then we'll get into some EVPs, too.
And hopefully we'll play some EVPs. Yeah. This will be awesome. So, you guys, stay tuned.
Hang tight.
We'll be back
right
with
back.
More from Bill Scott.